It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Congress appears ready to move forward on a new economic stimulus package, but don't expect them to call it that.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Congressional negotiators have agreed to a tentative deal that would extend the payroll tax cut through the end of the year. It would also extend unemployment benefits and maintain the pay of doctors who accept Medicare. All that means more money will go into more people's pockets, and perhaps they will go out and spend it. You might call it economic stimulus, as Marketplace's Heidi Moore reports.
The deal is being touted as a win for unemployed Americans who can keep their benefits and workers whose payroll taxes won't go up. But it's also stimulus, a sort of stealth stimulus.
Stimulus, I actually think, makes plenty of sense. The economic recovery is not strong. Giving the economy a little bit more juice makes sense.
That's Maya McGinnis. She's the president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. It's not as big as that mega stimulus package from a few years back, but Congress is doing its best LL Cool J impression. It's hoping that the old stimulus will still knock you out.
Don't call it a comeback.
But it's going to be expensive to maintain this status quo. The cost of these benefits has been a sticking point for a while. But Congress just stopped trying to figure out how to pay for it.
They just used the national credit card.
McGinnis says that eventually we'll max out.
Keep in mind, what the country really has to be doing is finding savings of $4, $5, or $6 trillion.
Even with this boost, it's hard to picture an economy that's stimulated enough to generate that kind of cash. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
The next leader of China will be in Washington again today, and then he'll head to Iowa. Yesterday, Xi Jinping visited the White House and the Pentagon, and then he met with American business leaders at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Marketplace's Scott Tong tagged along.
Xi Jinping's meeting with CEOs from companies like Coke and Disney was scripted, as expected. Still, Vice President Joe Biden spoke fairly directly about the rules of the game, as in China playing fair in global markets.
We have work to do, especially on issues like discriminatory subsidies, protecting intellectual property and trade secrets.
For his part, Mr. Xi said the Chinese economy is pivoting from the world's factory to the world's shopping mall. And new consumers for American products is what the CEOs are after, says Yale economist Stephen Roach. He's former chairman of Morgan Stanley Asia.
China's our third largest and most rapidly growing export market. Shame on us if we can't take advantage of the coming change in the Chinese economy.
And he says, shame on us could happen if simmering trade tensions bubble over into tariffs and trade war, leading Beijing to close off its markets. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are sharply higher across Asia, more than 2% up in Tokyo, as investors digest the news that Japan is pumping another $130 billion into its economy. Stocks also up across Europe, even though European finance ministers postponed the meeting they were supposed to hold today to determine if Greece has done enough cutting to get more bailout money. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 4 points to close at 12,878.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
We're coming up on George Washington's birthday, which we observe, of course, as President's Day. That means a 3-day weekend for many American workers. Federal employees will get Monday off, so will many students. But not everyone will be kicking back, and that is a problem, says LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how do we stack up holiday and vacation-wise in this country?
Not so well, it turns out. If you look at other industrialized countries, for example, the European Union, Japan, Canada, Australia, they guarantee at a minimum 10 to 20 days of paid leave every year. In France, it's 30 days. In the United States, our guaranteed paid leave, zero.
Wow.
Zero. And then you look at vacation days. In the rest of the world, paid holidays, guaranteed, vary from 5 days to about 2 weeks. In the United States, zero.
But I've read, David, that some people don't even take the vacation days that they have. They get vacation time from their employer, but they don't even take it.
This is true. In fact, some surveys show that about half of all U.S. workers do not take all their allotted time off, which raises the real question, why is that? And I think the answer is going to be because there's a lot of pressure from our employers not to be out of sight for too long. And in fact, when you do take a vacation, you're expected to kind of still be reachable via your BlackBerry or your iPhone.
Well, so therefore, should you take vacation day? Should you take the vacation that you're given? Or should you worry that if you do, you're going to get fired or something?
Well, it's a two-lane street here. On the one hand, you're going to have a better quality of life if you take your vacation time, and you'll probably be a better person for it. On the other hand, your employer is probably going to look at you and think, God, that guy's a slacker.
Well, although some people would look at this and say, at least the U.S. economy, it's a hard-working economy. Yes, maybe we work ourselves too hard, but we're doing better right now than the economies of Europe, which do, as you say, have more vacation time.
Yeah, and you ask the World Economic Forum, and they say, look at the United States. They have the fourth most competitive economy in the world, except then you bring in Sweden, which guarantees 5 weeks off for its workers every year, and they have the second most competitive economy.
Time to move to Sweden. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. David, thanks a lot.
I need a vacation.
And finally, Cisco has come out with its annual forecast for mobile devices and says that by the end of this year, there will be more mobile devices than people on Earth. And by 2016, when the world population reaches 7.3 billion, the world mobile population will reach 10 billion. Hopefully by then, we'll be able to come up with some different ringtones. Or maybe we can finally do away with them all together. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.